to have this state-of-the-art facility that combines both academics and athletics in a way that I think is really important for our community. We do have 16 sports here, and we want to grow all of them, and we want to become even more competitive year after year in all of our sports. The UT Regents this past week gave UTPB approval to create the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance. The college will house the School of Nursing, Department of Kinesiology, Department of Athletic Training, Department of Social Work, Department of Community and Family Health, Simulation and Learning Resource Center, and Clinical Labs. The college will be primarily housed in the D. Kirk Edwards Human Performance Center with several new clinical labs that will support state-of-the-art learning. The School of Nursing, along with the Simulation and Resource Center, will remain in the Mesa building, the release said. Woodley added that the university's 450 student athletes will be able to use the facility, as well as the athletic training and the rehab labs. All the students will have access to that for all of their athletic needs, and again, it combines the science and applied research of the faculty with our athletic programs in a way that will serve both of those segments very well, Woodley said. Director of Athletics Scott Farmer said he thinks collaboration can now easily exist between applied research and the athletic side. That's what this building provides at a very, very high level. The trend over the last 30 years has been that these areas have been separated. Athletics has got its own building over on campus somewhere, and they don't have that collaboration. Obviously, from the athletic standpoint, this is a game changer for us, Farmer said. The building features a nearly 9,000 square foot weight room with logos on all the free weights and other equipment. The size of the room will allow more athletes to use it at one time. The strength coaches will have offices with glass doors facing the room so they can see what's going on. There also is a 150-seat team meeting room lecture hall and a men's football-shaped locker room area with 120 lockers. The seats in the lecture hall all have UTPB Falcon logos, as do the free weights in the weight room. The women's soccer locker room has 24 lockers. There also is an athletic training room with separate hydrotherapy room and 20 coaches' offices. Farmer said the facility will attract student athletes. You can get stronger in an old, dimly lit, no ventilation weight room under the bleachers, but this one will help recruit the athletes, Farmer said. Visited on August 19th, the facility had reached substantial completion, but Woodley said there is still work to do. She said it may take a couple of months to bring everything together. But that's not unusual, Woodley said. Classes will be held in the building starting Monday, and coaches are already moving or have moved in. The academic wing is already welcoming faculty into their offices. They're moving in even as they continue to work on all of the other pieces, Woodley added. Richard Lloyd, assistant professor in the athletic training program, said the athletic training room is all-inclusive. We want this to look like the environment that you would actually do the athletic training job in, and it's designed to look like a practicing athletic training facility, but we also have the educational part, so we build theory to practice to reality, Lloyd said. Lloyd added that he was able to offer input into how the area came out. It's just exactly what I had envisioned. The athletic training room is superb. The wet room, when it's done, is going to have real possibilities, not just for athlete care, but for doing research as well. The one big tub has all kinds of video cameras in it, and we'll be able to capture that video and go back and replay it for the athlete. So if we're examining their gait and walking or running, because there's a treadmill down on the bottom, we'll be able to visualize it, send it to their doctor or to their PTs to show their progress and be able to document their rehab process, Lloyd said. He added that UTPB will have capabilities that even some of the upper division universities don't. The building's namesake, Odessa businessman and friend to UTPB, Kirk Edwards, said he visited the building last week and said it is beautiful inside and out and very functional for everyone who gets to use it. I am excited for the athletes, teachers, and students that get to be a part of the opening of this amazing facility. At the same time, I'm very humbled that the UT Regents, the UTPB administration, including both former UTPB President Dr. David Watts and Dr. Sandra Woodley, our elected officials, State Representative Brooks Landgraf, State Senator Kel Seliger, Representative Tom Craddock, former Representative and District Judge Tryon Lewis, and others believed in our community dream of seeing this college and our Odessa campus continue to grow. I could not be more proud to have my family's name associated with such an amazing facility, Edwards stated in a text message. Two more photos. UTPB's Director of Athletics, Scott Farmer, gives a tour of the athletic training room that will be utilized by UTPB's athletes before and after practice Thursday afternoon. The 150-seat team meeting room lecture hall gives student athletes a permanent place to discuss game plans, strategies, and improvements on campus. Photos by Ben Powell, Odessa American. Master Gardeners, now is the time to plant collard greens, by Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. Collard greens are easy to grow, tolerate the heat and cold, and are well suited to large and small gardens. Their best growth is during cool weather, so now is the time to plant yours. Collards, which are grown for their leaves, are low in calories and high in protein, minerals, and vitamins. The roots of this plant can reach 2 feet, so dig the soil as deep as possible. The soil needs to be loose so the feeder roots can grow more easily. Begin by scattering a complete garden fertilizer, 10, 10, 10, and rake it in. Next, spread compost over the area before you plant. Work the soil into ridges that are 6 inches to 8 inches high and 36 inches apart. If planting seeds, make a shallow ditch down the middle of the hill. A teaspoon of seeds will plant a 30-foot row. It is better to seed heavily and then thin out when plants appear. Cover the seeds with 1/4 inch of soil and lightly water. Depending on the temperature, the plants should come up in 6 to 12 days. The cooler it is, the longer it takes. Thin the plants when they are about 6 inches tall. 18 inches should remain between plants. Even though small, the plants you pull are edible and can be used in salads or other dishes. Collards need nitrogen to get that dark leaf color, so fertilize with 1 cup of garden fertilizer per 30-foot row. Apply the fertilizer beside the plants, which is called side dressing. If the plants get pale, you may need to apply again in 4 to 6 weeks. The lower leaves of collards are harvested for eating, which allows the plant to continue producing leaves. Collards will produce in temperatures of 20 degrees and taste sweeter after a light frost. When cooking, be careful not to use too much water, since this reduces the nutrients of this healthy plant. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Gardening, Texas Master Gardeners. Now is the time to plant collard greens. Collards are grown as a food crop for their large, dark green, edible leaves. Pets of the week. Tink, a 2-year-old female Chihuahua mix, and Daphne, a 3-month-old female kitten, need to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Tink or Daphne, or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, or visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is an Oak Hill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. Tink, the Chihuahua mix, is all black except for some white on her tummy. Daphne looks to be a long-haired gray with some white on her face and her left front paw. Photo courtesy of Odessa Humane Society.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Saturday, August 22nd. Too much fertilizer can harm plants, by Jeanette Kastanen, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. Most homeowners think they are doing good by applying fertilizers to their plants. When applied correctly, fertilizers are a great way to give your plants the healthy boost they need, although fertilizer toxicity is possible. Neglecting and overloving your plants can sometimes cause similar issues. When you apply too much fertilizer, the roots cannot properly take up water. Plants rely on osmotic pressure gradient in order to collect water. When the concentration of dissolved solids rises continuously from the soil around the roots to the core of the root, the water will flow into the plant. When the pressure around the roots gets too high, the flow of water is reversed. Your plant can no longer take up any water, and the leaves will burn from a lack of available water to cool them. If you have over-fertilized your plant, you can save it by flushing out the soil with lots of water. If there is a crust of fertilizer visible, scrape off that soil, being careful not to remove more than 1/4 inch of soil. Prune away the dead leaves and ease up on your fertilizing schedule to prevent further burning. Jean Castanon is County Extension Agent for Horticulture, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 686-4700 or email Jeanette, J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E dot Castanon, C-A-S-T-A-N-O-N at ag.tamu.edu or go to aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 23rd, 2020. Start with trust. Wedding Tips to Help Navigate Your Big Day by Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin, bbb.org. While summer is generally considered wedding season, a survey conducted by Wedding Wire shows that October 10th was the top 2020 wedding date. October has also been the most popular month to get married for 4 consecutive years. Unfortunately, COVID-19 has forced many couples to cancel or postpone their weddings, and many couples are still unsure what the future holds for their big day. Many wedding industry services require non-refundable deposits, which can make canceling your wedding financially devastating. In 2019, the average cost of a wedding in Texas was $30,200, which includes services like florists, videographers, catering, and a venue. With so much at stake, understanding what goes into planning or canceling a wedding is important. Whether you're finalizing details for your big day or canceling the celebration because of COVID-19, use these tips from your Better Business Bureau to navigate the process. Research businesses before hiring them. It can be easy to fall in love with a vendor and hire them on the spot. Check their business profile on BBB.org to see any complaints or reviews from other consumers. You can also ask if the vendor has a list of references you can contact. You may also want to consider how long they have been in business. A business that has been operating longer may have better experience to cater to your nuptial needs. Double-check prices and fees. If you found a vendor online or at a bridal expo, double-check the prices you were originally given. Ask what is included in the price and what services require extra fees. Some venues include caterers and bartenders in their price, and some may charge extra for access to bridal suites, cake cutting fees, cancellation fees, etc. Be sure you fully understand what you are paying for before paying a deposit or signing a contract. Set a budget. Setting a budget for each vendor and service can help prevent you from overspending on your wedding. Research different businesses so you can get a feel for the average cost of florists, photographers, DJs, and more. It may be tempting to hire the vendor with the lowest price, but scammers often use low prices to lure consumers in. Pay with a credit card. Credit cards can help protect consumers in case a vendor backs out or disappears. If you experience a problem with a vendor, contact your credit card company immediately to dispute the charges. Contact vendors directly. If you need to cancel or reschedule your wedding because of COVID-19, check your contract to find cancellation fees. If that is not spelled out in the contract, or to see if COVID-19 has changed cancellation and rescheduling policies, contact the vendor directly. To find more wedding tips and to find the best vendors for your big day, visit us at BBB.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading from this week's San Angelo Standard Times. It's for the week of Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Summer Heat Putting a Strain on San Angelo Plants by Allison Watkins, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. There have been many questions coming in lately regarding sick and stressed plants. Trees have dropped leaves, shrubs are getting scorched, and some perennials are looking a bit rough. It's been a hot, dry summer, and this is always stressful on certain plants, but even more so when it follows a rainy spring. The sudden change is hard to adjust to. Some plants thrive in the most extreme summer heat. Pride of Barbados and sweet potato vine, for example. In landscape planning, remember that diversity is good. Include a variety of plants with different strengths and requirements to have something showy and happy all year long. For plants that aren't thriving right now, take the time to evaluate irrigation methods and timing. Summer heat certainly causes plants to need more irrigation than cooler seasons, but proper watering, deep and infrequent, throughout the year, can help plants develop deeper roots, which can help them withstand summer temperatures. If you suspect something other than just summer heat, consider all the possibilities. Weed killer damage, nutrient deficiency, insect pests, disease, etc. Disease can be difficult to diagnose in plants. Try sending a sample to the Texas A&M Plant Disease Diagnostic Laboratory. Visit plantclinic.tamu.edu for info and to print the submission form. The charge is $35 for routine diagnostic service, and this can be a big help in determining the cause of plant stress. But what is causing the trouble for many plants right now is simply heat and drought. Add plenty of mulch for planting beds and even container-grown plants to conserve moisture in the soil. Cut back perennials now to get a flush of healthy new growth for fall blooms. Give pecan trees extra water. They are not drought-tolerant plants. There is a term called August drop that is used to refer to pecans dropping nuts and leaves in late summer. This is a pretty common occurrence and is just a response of the tree to high temperatures, not a sign that the tree is dying. If plants have yellow, stunted leaves with green veins, this is probably a sign of iron deficiency. Try spraying the leaves with a liquid iron fertilizer and work on increasing organic matter in the soil around the plants. Iron chlorosis is especially common on hollies, pears, and junipers, but can affect many others. Iron deficiency is caused by the high soil pH, but is also made worse by water imbalance, too much or too little. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, August 22, 2020. Dear Abby, boyfriend's confession rocks relationship. Dear Abby, my boyfriend of 4 years recently admitted he cheated on me 6 months ago. I was blindsided. Until the day he told me, I thought we shared everything. The hollowness and betrayal I feel is sometimes overwhelming. He explained that at the time, he was dealing with substance issues and depression, which I was also unaware of. Both have worsened in recent months. How could I have been so blind? To complicate things further, I have a 6-year-old son who has grown to love this man as a father because my ex-husband walked out on us when he was born. He has been an amazing role model for my son and overall a wonderful partner. Or so I thought. He says he's heartbroken over the pain he's caused me. He recently started receiving treatment for his depression through medication and therapy, and he has begged me to go to couples therapy to rebuild the trust that's been lost. I was taught to believe that cheating is the end of relationship, no ifs, ands, or buts. I don't want to end the relationship, but I'm struggling with the decision because of what I was taught, especially when I confide in friends and they tell me to dump him. I wish I knew what to do. I need an objective opinion. Can a relationship survive such a betrayal? Can we be happy again? Hollow in New York. Dear Hollow, the answers to your questions are yes and yes, especially if both partners are fully committed and prepared to get couples therapy from a licensed professional. If you love this man and want to give this relationship a chance, quit confiding in your friends and start talking with the therapist. Your boyfriend is remorseful. He is also in treatment, and he is trying his best to get better and work things out. Please give him the opportunity to do that, because if you do, your story may have a happy ending. Dear Abby, I am a 26-year-old single woman living alone during quarantine. I have no family who live in state. Admittedly, I've struggled with loneliness during quarantine, and my family knows this. For weeks, I've been fending off my dad's attempts to fly cross-country and visit, I don't think it's safe, and have told him no. Yesterday he told me that he is making plane reservations. It doesn't matter what I say or want. I know this comes from a place of love, but he is completely disregarding my feelings, especially since I have been extremely careful in quarantine and he hasn't been. Is there a way I can keep this visit from happening? Home Alone in Rhode Island. Dear Home Alone, yes, there is. Tell your father plainly you are afraid of being exposed to the virus because he hasn't been as careful about exposure as you have been. If he still insists, tell him he must bring with him proof that he has tested negative, and even then you won't see him unless you are both masked, gloved, and practicing social distancing. He should also not plan on staying with you. If that doesn't discourage him, when he arrives, see him outside and remain 6 feet apart in case he has been exposed at the airport or on the plane.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8. This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday Night Movie.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Walk the Line.
He was hit by a truck, and you were lying out in that gutter dying, and you had time to sing one song. One song that would let God know what you felt about your time here on earth. One song that would sum you up. That's the kind of song that truly saves people.
To ask you how you came up with that sound. It sounded like a train, sharp like a razor.
We'd play faster if we could.
The taste of love is sweet.
We're all going to hell for the songs we sang.
And what about me, Charlie? Am I going to hell?
No, Jim, you're beautiful.
Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
Sorry, it just happened.
You should try taking credit for something every once in a while.
Come on, baby.
Baby, 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 baby.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Tell me you don't love me.
I don't love you.
Liar.
And the flames went higher.
Mr. Cash, why don't you refrain from performing any tunes that remind the inmates that they're in prison?
You think they forgot?
The ring of fire.
Joaquin Phoenix, Reese Witherspoon.
And what's with the black?
Looks like you're going to a funeral.
Maybe I am.
Walk the Line.
The audio described, Walk the Line. Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 78 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-80s. Then tomorrow, clear with a high around 102. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-80s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Because our regularly scheduled program was not available at broadcast time, we bring you the following special presentation.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and brought to you by GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service. I'm Kirk Henson with the Georgia Radio Reading Service, and this is Newsweek magazine for the week beginning August the 21st, 2020. On the cover this week is the silhouette of a young lady, with various pills of shapes and sizes laid out in the shape of a brain, with the caption, "The Other Epidemic. As the COVID crisis fuels a surge in overdoses, scientists race to stop addiction at its source, the brain." Going to the cover story this week, "The Addict's Brain" by Adam Piori. Kim Janda likes to say that he has engineered immune cells in the lab capable of protecting the human body against virtually everything that's walked or crawled, including some of the most toxic known diseases, including anthrax, botulinum neurotoxin, and ricin. When someone close to Janda